Folks, if you have your Bible, please do turn to the passage that Ozzy read. We're going to be referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and also we're going to be referring to another little text in 2 Peter. So if you can be ready to go to 2 Peter chapter 1 as well. We're thinking over these Sunday evenings about the work of the Holy Spirit. And let me just qualify maybe a few things that we have been saying, which maybe I take for granted or assume, but in life we should never assume anything. Some people in the church are in danger of completely forgetting the Holy Spirit, and we must never do that. We must never fall into the trap, as we've been mentioning, of the Holy Spirit almost being like Cinderella, who was forgotten. Nobody really remembered about her. Nor must we forget about him, the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, sometimes people in the church are in danger of obsessing about the Holy Spirit to the exclusion of Christ and our Heavenly Father. And we must not do that either. We must keep the biblical balance. And as I preach about the Holy Spirit on these Sunday evenings, I wish to give the impression that if only we had some deeper experience of the Holy Spirit, that all of our longings would be answered. By all means, we must seek, I believe, a deeper experience of God the Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. And we must allow him to have access to all of our lives. The little illustration that I keep using is, we must not do what we sometimes do when we invite the visitor to our house. We tidy up the room, we invite them into that room, and they sit in that room, and they have their cup of tea, and it's all very nice and proper, and then when the time is over, they are ushered out again. What if they were to look in that other room at the back? They might get a shock. It might be quite a mess compared to the little room that we've made nice and neat and tidy. And sometimes we do that with God. We invite him into a certain part of our lives, and everything's prepared, and everything's nice and prim and proper, but we would be horrified if God were to be invited into that other little room of our lives. What would he see? What would he discover? But folks, we will not be truly under the blessing of God unless and until we allow God to be in every part of our lives. We will not know the blessing and the power of God if we do that. He must have access to all of us. And we must balance, and tonight we're going to do that, this desire for an experiential understanding of God and of Christ and the Spirit, that must, of course, always be checked and balanced by Holy Scripture. And so tonight we want to think of the theme just for a little while as we think about the work of the Holy Spirit. We want to think tonight about the Holy Spirit and Holy Scripture. And you see the two images there of the Word of God. The Word of God and the image of the dove, one of the Bible images of the Holy Spirit. And how do these two great truths tie together? How are we to understand in a simple way, yet these are profound things? How are we to understand the relationship between the two? There's three basic things I want to say this evening, surprise, surprise, about the Holy Spirit and Scripture. And the first thing that I want us to think about is this, to remember this. And it is very, very, very important that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Holy Scripture. young folk, older folk, if someone was to ask you, how did we get our Bibles? Why do we trust what's written in these pages? What do we actually believe about our Bibles and how we came to have our Bibles? Were they not just written by men? And if they were just written by men, then are they not full of mistakes? Those are the kind of questions that sometimes we are faced with. If you have got your Bible open there at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, for example, just look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Let me put that very simply. How could we ever know what was in the mind of God? How could we ever come to really know in an accurate way what God was thinking or what God wanted to say to us? We could guess, we could have our ideas, but they would just be guesses and ideas. You see, if we are ever to know what God is thinking and what God desires, then God must reveal that to us. And who can know the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God? And here is the point, that when we come to our revelation, the Holy Scriptures, we believe, is a revelation from God. It has been revealed to us by God. How has it been revealed to us? By the Holy Spirit. Because God, the Holy Spirit, knows the mind of God, and he takes the mind of God and he brings it to us. And how does that happen? Well, this is where I want you just to glance over to 2 Peter, just for a moment, if you will. If you have your Bible, it's an important verse. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. I don't have it on the screen. If you haven't a Bible, just listen carefully. 2 Peter 1 verse 21. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And what this verse is teaching, and other verses, is that whenever a true prophet spoke from God, whenever a man spoke from God and it was put down in Holy Scripture, it was not just his ideas that he thought up on a Saturday evening. The Holy Spirit came upon that man and moved in and through that man as he wrote the words of God. Men spoke. Think about this, folks. Real men. Men like Moses and David and Isaiah and Peter and Paul. Very different men. They're like us. We're all different. All different personalities. But these different personalities in different circumstances spoke, and they spoke freely. Young folk, grasp this. They weren't robots sitting, as it were, at a typewriter, typing some words that came into their heads from God, and then they robotically typed them in. No. These different men, with their different styles, with their different personalities, come through. They were writing freely, but they were led of God and inspired by God, the Holy Spirit. Men were speaking, but they were led of God. They were inspired by God. This, of course, is a mystery. Of course, we cannot fully understand this. But folks, this is what Scripture teaches. It's what our Lord Jesus Christ accepted himself. And we follow his example, don't we? Carried along by the Spirit, It's an interesting word that's used there. It's the same word, actually, that's used in another situation in Acts chapter 25, where it describes how a ship was carried along by the wind. And you remember how recently we've been thinking about how the same word in the Bible is often used for the wind and the Spirit. Another verse that's really, really important in this is 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It's interesting in the Bible. I wonder, do you notice this? How many places you find 3 and 16? It's a very significant verse. Well, here's another 3 and 16. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. Folks, let me ask you, young folks this evening, older folks this evening, do you see this? Why do you believe the Bible? Why do you believe in the authority of the Bible? It is because we believe that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Holy Scripture. I wonder, do you really believe it tonight? Many do not. Many across our nation do not believe this. They really do not. And can I say this, folks? Whether a man or a woman believes this, or if they don't believe it, it will determine very, very strongly how they go on as a Christian. If a Christian does not have a strong grasp of the authority of the Word of God and how it has been inspired by the Spirit of God, young folk, if you don't believe that, then you'll probably not take time to read the Bible. You'll probably not take too much heed to what it says. But young folk, older folk, if you do believe it, and if the Spirit of God puts that in your heart, then you will treasure this book. You will treasure this book. And not only treasure it, but as we come to see, you will put it into practice in your daily living. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture. But here's the second thing that I want you to see tonight. The Holy Spirit not only inspired the writers of Scripture, the Holy Spirit enlightens the students of Scripture. I wonder, have you ever heard someone say, or if you're being honest, you may even think of a time in your life when you thought this yourself, the sort of comment, I don't understand the Bible. It's a dead book to me. I don't really understand what it's saying. Somebody told me to read the Bible, but I did try to read it, but I just couldn't really see what it was saying. The Holy Spirit enlightens the students of Scriptures. You see, folks, here's my point, that without the Holy Spirit, you and I will not understand the Word of God. Without the Holy Spirit enlightening us, we will not be blessed as we read the Scriptures. It will be dull and dreary and dead to us. You see, we need God. And this, when we think about this, teaches us a little bit more about the need for God in our lives to awaken us, to renew us, to enlighten us, and all the words that you might want to think of. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to come and to convict people, to awaken people, to take the veil away. Andrew was speaking this morning, and he did say at one point, don't tell Mr. Johnston. But Mr. Johnston was watching. And Andrew preached a very, very excellent sermon. But you remember part of the passage that he was reading about how people and how the gospel is veiled to people? They can't quite see it. And that is why we need the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who takes the veil away. The Holy Spirit is the one who awakens people. The Holy Spirit is the one, and we were thinking about this recently, who comes, and we remember the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't even see it, Nicodemus. But the wind blows. The wind blows, Nicodemus. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The wind blows. The wind blows the veil away. And the wind blows into the heart awakening. Folks, have you been awakened in your Christian experience? You've been going along and you've been really just going through the motions. And you need this fresh touch from the Lord, this fresh touch from the Holy Spirit to take that old veil away, to take that old dullness away, and to make the Word live. You see, this is something that the Holy Spirit can do in a man's life, a woman's life, not only before they are converted, bringing them to Christ, but after they are converted, helping them to grow up in Christ. If you have your Bible, just go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says this. Listen to this. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Folks, if we do not have the Spirit, we will not understand these things. The preacher might preach his heart out, but it will just go straight over our heads. Someone may read the Scriptures to you, but it will just go in one ear and out the other ear. We need the Holy Spirit to enlighten the reading and the preaching and the hearing of the Word of God. And there's a word that Christians use to describe this spiritual illumination. And it is that word that I've just used. It's illumination. The Spirit coming to illuminate, to lighten up, so that we might really see. We were singing about it earlier in our service. That older hymn, "Break forth, O living light of God." Let me remind you of the second verse. Remove the veil of ancient words, their message long obscure. Restore to us your truth, O God, and make its meaning sure. Let me draw your attention to a couple of other verses. 1 Corinthians, glance over to 2 Corinthians just for a moment if you've got your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. There's a helpful little text here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, listen to this, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Folks, this explains why a person before they're converted can read the Scriptures and it really doesn't mean an awful lot to them. But once they are converted, once they come to Christ, once they come to repent and believe the gospel, the veil is taken away. And they can go back to the very same passages, and actually they will discover it's beginning to speak to them. That which was a dead letter in the past is now living and vital. And there's a desire to go back to that word and to say, oh God, send your spirit. Make this live. Make this alive. And if you pray that, it will happen. Just one other little verse. Just glance on over. Ephesians chapter 1. Just in the same light. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. Ephesians 1:18. Paul prays for these Christians. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Folks, there's probably here people here this evening, and there's other members of our church, and they're not here this evening. And this is a word that all of you and all of us need to hear. Because we're living in an age of complacency. We're living in an age of apathy. We're living in an age where many Christians, if truth be told, are not actually spending time in the Word of God day by day. And if they do it, it's out of duty, and it's because they'll feel guilty if they don't do it. Folks, that's no way to go. That's no way to blessing. And we need the Spirit of God to come and to revive us and to touch us and to put a real desire in our hearts that will take us back to the Word of God. And when we read the Word of God, it will be alive to us. Not a dull letter. Who wants to read a dull letter or a dead letter? We need the illuminating power of the Spirit. And that is why Jim Packer said in this light, he said, the way to benefit fully from the Spirit's ministry of illumination is by serious Bible study, serious prayer, and serious response in obedience to whatever truths one has been shown already. So let me put it plainly and simply. Through this coming week, at some particular point, what you maybe need to do is turn the television off or set the tablet to the side or pull yourself away from Facebook for 10 minutes and get your Bible out, repent of your sins, and prayerfully seek the illumination and the enlightening of the Holy Spirit upon the pages of Holy Scripture and say, Lord, Heavenly Father, will you make your word live in my soul again? Will you become a serious student of the Word of God? I'm not saying you have to go to university or Bible college or do some correspondence course in the Bible. Not at all. But get away from this idea, a blessed little thought for the day will be sufficient for my soul. It will not be sufficient for your soul. Dig into the Word of God and just simply pray that God would send his Spirit upon you. And the last thing I want to say is this. Not only the Holy Spirit inspires the writers of Scripture, the Holy Spirit enlightens the students of Scripture, but lastly, the Holy Spirit empowers the obedience of Scripture. Remember that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And in Paul's day, when he was thinking of a soldier, the sword was a pretty important piece of equipment for defense and for offense. And the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. And yet in so many homes it's left sitting on the top shelf. If we are to win in the battle, if we're to grow in holiness and effective Christian living, then we must know and use our Bibles. We must not only be reading our Bibles, but we must be obeying them. So to be a Spirit-filled church, we will be a Bible-obeying church. To be a Spirit-filled Christian, you will be a Bible-obeying Christian. We will follow in the tradition of people like George Mueller, who emphasized the need to take a moment to meditate upon the Word of God, to warm the heart and to allow the Word of God to lead you into prayer and examination of your own life and to set certain things in order if they're not in order. And that heritage went right back a long time before George Mueller to Martin Luther. Time has almost gone, but let me just show you something as we draw to an end. Some of you will have seen this before. As you read the scriptures, this is all very simple. It's nothing profound or complicated. But as you read the scriptures and pray, Lord, come by your Spirit, illuminate this, enlighten me, touch me, move me. As you read the little text that you've read, whatever it is there an example for you to follow? Is there some command that God is saying, I want you to do this, I want you to obey me here? You've been neglecting this, you've been disobeying me. Is there some error for you to avoid? Something that God, the Holy Spirit, shows up when you're reading the Word of God and actually you discover, you know, what I've been thinking there is actually not even right. I've been wrong. I need to turn from that. Is there some sin that you need to forsake? And as you read the Word of God, God challenges you. God, the Holy Spirit, convicts you and moves you and says, you see that thing in your life? You need to forsake that. Is there a promise for you to claim? The Word of God is full of wonderful promises. And is there some new thought about God himself? So folks, the challenge tonight is very, very simple at one level. We think of the Word of God. Praise God for this Word. We live in a nation, sadly, that is moving away from the Word of God. It pays lip service to this Word. But we believe in this Word because the Holy Spirit has inspired the Scriptures. And if you're a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus in your life, then you can only understand what's in here as the Holy Spirit enlightens you and illuminates the holy pages. Pray that He would come and fill your life and fill your times of reading the Word of God. And not only that, pray that He would come and empower you to live it out as a spouse, as a parent, as a grandparent, as a teenager, as a neighbor, as an employer, as an employee, as a citizen, to go out and to live in obedience to what the Word of God is saying. Not to be ashamed to say that you're a Christian. Not to be ashamed whenever someone asks you something about being a Christian and you may not quite know what to say, but actually in obedience to say, yes, I am a believer. Not to be slow to invite someone whom you know doesn't go anywhere on a Sunday, to invite them to this church where they will be made very, very welcome. In obedience to listen to what God is saying, not to neglect the assembling together and to encourage other friends and family to gather in morning and evening. To obey the challenge of the Word of God, to gather in to pray. Folks, as a church, as your pastor, we need to pray more. We need to gather together more to pray. And there are a number of little things in the bulletin that you will see in various times, different times that we can meet to pray. Time has gone. The Holy Spirit and Scripture. Three simple but basic things that we need to understand. The Holy Spirit has inspired this book. The Holy Spirit will illuminate this book if you seek after Him. And the Holy Spirit will give you the grace and the power to live for Jesus in obedience to this book. Let each and every one who has ears to hear, hear the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would take your word and apply it by your Holy Spirit into all of our hearts for the glory of God and for the honor of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.